Welcome to episode 7 of the Playbook Podcast with your host Kyle Stow and other host
Garrett Burkle.
So we had some nice NFL and college football matchup this weekend. Maybe not so nice for my teams, but it is what it is. Let's jump into college football action first. At the best noon game of the day, we had my Kentucky Wildcats lose a close one to Ole Miss on the road 22-19. So did you watch much of that game at all?
Unfortunately, I did not. I was watching the Boilermakers game.
So Kentucky really just threw away opportunities left and right. It was a very close game. Obviously, it went down to the wire. Kentucky had a chance to punch in late. They were unable to. Michigan beat Iowa on the road 27-14. That's a pretty good win there. The score's a lot closer than it looks. Michigan dominated this game from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. TCU kills Oklahoma 55-24. Oklahoma's not a good football team. They're definitely, I'm pretty sure they're unranked now, which is very justified there. Your Purdue Boilermakers went on the road to Minnesota, got a W there. So what are your thoughts about that?
So I called it on episode 6.
I think we both called that, yeah.
So it was good to finally get a win against Minnesota. That's been just a team we've had terrible luck against. I believe we are now, 2017 we beat Minnesota, 18 loss, 19 loss, 20 loss, 21 loss, and then we won in 22. So we're 2-4 against PJ Fleck in Minnesota still. That's not great, but it's a step in the right direction for sure. Minnesota was ranked, I believe, 21st or 23rd.
21st.
So Jeff Brohm, again, against ranked teams, just his mindset to coaching is just like, it's so good. It's almost unbelievable.
And Purdue should be 5-0.
Yeah, they like, really should.
It's ridiculous how they're not. Mm-hmm. They should be 5-0. And honestly, if you're 5-0 with wins over Minnesota and Penn State, you're ranked in the top 10, top 15.
Yeah, for sure. And that's
3-2 is pretty good.
Yeah, that's too bad. And Syracuse is pretty good too, the other team we've lost to. So the two teams we lost to are combined 10-0 right now. So that's something else just to keep in mind. But we have Maryland on the road next week, which isn't going to be easy. So that's that's something to look for or to look forward to for sure. But Aiden O'Connell did not look very good. Had a couple interceptions. Was forcing it to his receivers. Looking at Charlie Jones's way a lot. Did not spread the ball across the field. But Minnesota had some very good cornerback and safety play as well. So that's something also to think about. But Devin McAvee, the walk-on running back, the walk-on freshman, had a 68-yard run towards the end of the game to pretty much seal it and then got in the end zone with a 3-yard touchdown. So beautiful there, finally, to see a good running back at Purdue, and it was the longest run play for Purdue since Rondell Moore had one in 2018. But before that, it was Markell Jones in 2015, the longest run play for Purdue. So you can see Purdue's not a very running back-heavy school, so it's good to see a guy like that step up. So I'm very excited for the future with McAvee and the Purdue Boilermakers, and hopefully we take momentum in and are able to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, I could definitely see Purdue winning like 8 games this season, maybe 9 if everything goes right there.
Yeah, and then the West is pretty much all
the West is up for grabs.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no what are the other teams? I know there's Iowa. I know there's Nebraska.
Every team in the Big Ten West right now has a 1-1 record in Big Ten play, except Wisconsin, who's 0-2.
Yeah, Wisconsin. I would think they'd win it, but no. Right now Purdue. Yeah, Purdue's probably the best team in the West.
I'd say so. Or Illinois is another one.
Illinois is decent, but I'd still take Purdue over them.
Yeah, and interesting, Wisconsin actually fired their head coach, Paul Christ, after...
I saw that.
I can't remember when he got there, but he's had all his wins.
It's been like 4 years, I think.
I think it's been longer than that.
Maybe longer than that,
But anyway, he's had every single team of his has at least won 8 games, and to see him go... To see him get let go by Wisconsin was very surprising. But I actually have a couple names that I would look at to go higher. Number one is Matt Campbell from Iowa State. He's always in the rumors of where he's going to go. But I do not believe he will go to Wisconsin. I believe he'll stay at Iowa State. The other one is the big name that I think they'll end up hiring is Lance Lipoid from Kansas. Obviously, Kansas is 5-0. They have College Game Day there this weekend. And that should be a very interesting game as they face off against TCU. So that should be a fun one. But Lance Lipoid is one of the guys that I look at, and I'm like, okay. You know, he has Wisconsin ties, not to the Badgers, but he grew up in Wisconsin. He coached at a smaller Wisconsin school for years. And that's one I'm like, okay, he could legitimately be the Wisconsin's Badgers' next football coach. Another name is the guy they actually lost to, Brett Bielema from Illinois. He was at Wisconsin originally in the early 2000s, did really well there, left to go to Arkansas, and after that, his time in Arkansas didn't really work out, went to the NFL for a bit, came back to Illinois, and obviously we see what Illinois is. I think they're 3-4-1 right now with their only loss coming, a bad loss to Indiana, but still, that's a guy I look at. You know, he has Wisconsin ties, he's been there before. He's one I could see as possibly the next head football, again, well, I guess, again, he'd be the next head football coach at Wisconsin. That's kind of far-fetched, but at the same time, I think it's kind of realistic. So interesting there. And the other guy I look at is their interim head coach, Jim Leonard, who has been at Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin grad. He played there. He's a three-time All-American. He played for the Broncos for a bit. Very good player. But anyway, he's been at Wisconsin since 2016 as a coach and their defensive coordinator since 2017. And now he is the interim head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. So if he does well there, I believe that he will be named the next head football coach at Wisconsin.
I'm really happy you didn't mention Mark Stoops there.
No, not Mark Stoops.
Finally, Mark Stoops isn't in the coaching room, I think. He better stay at Kentucky for a while.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, he just got a bag from them, so. Then another ranked game we had was number 25, Kansas State, beating Texas Tech 37-28. Adrian Martinez continues to prove that he was not the problem at Nebraska. He's a talented quarterback, and he's getting the job done with Kansas State right now. They're ranked football program.
Yeah, good for them.
Then we had Utah absolutely kill Oregon State at home, 42-16. That's a pretty good win for them as Oregon State the last week almost upset USC. They're real close to upsetting USC.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama beat Arkansas. Bryce Young goes down. Alabama's backup quarterback stepped up and got the job done against Arkansas. Jalen Milroe, I mean, he just played really well overall. He played a lot better in the rushing aspect. He had 6 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown, and he had a really long run against them late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Arkansas got it pretty close there. They got it like 28-23, and then Alabama just pulled away. Alabama's backup quarterback is better than a lot of teams' starting
yeah,
quarterbacks. So
of course, yeah.
I'm not worried about Bryce Young there. If he needs to take time off, then take it off. I mean,
for sure,
Alabama's backup quarterback is solid. Ohio State had an impressive win against Rutgers, 49-10, and I know it's Rutgers, but they continued as a blow teams out of the water.
Did you see the kind of brawl there at the?
Yeah, I did see it. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I just like look up at the TV. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, so actually, both head coaches, Ryan Day at Ohio State and Greg Schiano at Rutgers, both of them actually, both of them coached under Urban Meyer together, which is kind of interesting if you look at it because, you know, both of them were Urban Meyer guys. And they kind of, you know, they obviously have, you know, connections to each other because they're on the same coaching staff. So it's very interesting to see them that, I guess, angry at each other. And I think it was, you know, you really don't need to be running that onside kick at that moment. It's kind of classless, in my opinion,
by
Ohio State.
Who's the one who kicked the onside kick? Ohio State?
Or not the onside kick, sorry, the fake punt.
Fake punt, yeah.
So I think it was kind of classless in a way by Ohio State. Really nothing new there for the Buckeyes, though. But, I mean, it was something where Ryan Day did not call the fake punt there. It was something where he believed it was the right side of the field, saw no one was there, and was like, okay, I can pick up 10 yards on this. We'll get the first down and put our offense back on the field. He did that, and then late hit, and then Schiano came running out onto the field, and yeah, it escalated from there. Both coaches were not happy with each other. So interesting there.
Yeah, and then we had number 9 Oklahoma State go on the road to Baylor, number 16 Baylor, and get the win, 36-25. Baylor actually had it close pretty late. They cut it to 8 points and had the ball. They were down most of the game, so no surprise there for Oklahoma State getting the W. Penn State wins in a rainy game against Northwestern, 17-7. Obviously, you'd like to beat Northwestern by more, but like I said, it was a very rainy game, not great mm-hmm. field conditions, so a win's a win. You always take a win in college football.
Was the game at Penn State?
The game was at Penn
Interesting.
State. Then we had Wake Forest win 31-21 at number 23, Florida State. That's a good win for them. I thought Florida State was actually going to come back. They were down, I want to say, 18 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, Florida State had the ball on Wake Forest's 4-yard line, down 7. And then I checked the score again, and Wake Forest just pulled away. So good win, good bounce back win from the Clemson loss with Wake Forest.
For sure, Wake Forest is a pretty good football team as well. I could see them getting a New Year's Six bowl opportunity.
Honestly, there's a lot of teams I could say for that. For sure. So it'll be interesting to see there. Mississippi State gets a massive win against Texas A&M, 42-24. Mississippi State is ranked, I want to say, I just looked at it. I think they're either 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
But good ranking. I think it's the first time Mississippi State's been ranked since, like, 2019.
Interesting.
So that's really cool to see there. Georgia barely escapes at Missouri. Then number one Georgia, now number two. That's back-to-back weeks. They have not been impressive.
Who's number one now, Ohio State Alabama. Or Alabama? Alabama, okay.
Ohio State at three. I honestly, personally, would have liked to see Ohio State jump Florida. I mean, Florida, Georgia, because just of the fact that Ohio State's been playing really, really well all year except the very first game of the season, and Georgia this past 2 weeks have not looked good at all. So Georgia had a very unimpressive win against Missouri. They have not looked good in these past couple weeks against Kent State and Missouri. I mean, I think we all knew that Georgia would find a way to win. I checked the score late. I saw Missouri was up by 3 points, and I was like, yeah, Georgia's still going to win this, but this doesn't look good for the Georgia Bulldogs. I think Alabama's a better team. I think Ohio State is a better team right now, and there's an argument to be made right now that Clemson could be a better team.
Yeah, I've not been impressed with Georgia after their first few weeks, which they looked almost perfect in a way. So, yeah, I'm very disappointed in Georgia, and let's see how they can, you know, kind of bounce back. Because still, I think they're still, definitely a top-five team, but they just, you know, have not been playing like it. I don't know how – did Stenson Bennett look bad against Missouri?
I think just overall – I didn't check overall, his stat line. The whole entire team did not look very good. Stenson Bennett, he did decent. He had 24 for 43, 312 yards, no touchdowns, no picks.
Okay.
Anyways, they lose a close one to Missouri there. You had Clemson beat NC State, number 32-20. And Clemson looks like a college football team right now.
Oh, yeah.
College football playoff team. So
I've been high on that. I
think at the start of the season I picked them to be number four, but I was very skeptical because of last season that they had. So it's cool to see Clemson back up there, and I think they're one of the top dogs in college football now.
What's their remaining schedule, just out of curiosity?
I mean, it's the ACC, and they've already played NC State and Wake. So they play Boston College, Florida State, that's a tough one. Syracuse is ranked now, so that's 22.
Where's that game at?
At Clemson. Okay. They have at Notre Dame. I mean,
That's always tough.
It's always tough playing at Notre Dame. They will get the job done, I bet. And then Louisville, Miami, South Carolina. So they have a very favorable remaining schedule.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think they go undefeated there. And even if they drop a dud and still win the ACC championship, probably still get in. Georgia Tech upsets Pitt on the road, which is kind of crazy because Georgia Tech's not a very good football team. But Pitt gets upset there. USC wins by 17 points at home against Arizona, 42-25. And Oregon finishes out the ranked day, winning 45-27. Just a game that it's not two ranked teams that I'd want to talk about. Is Kansas is ranked now. They beat Iowa State at home. Kansas football is 5-0. I repeat that. Let me put that more into perspective. Kansas football is ranked in 5-0, and they're getting game day, called to game day.
Well, good for them. It's kind of shocking, honestly, how fast Kansas' program has turned around. I thought Les Miles would do that, but he did not. And Kansas looks very, very, very good right now.
I'm gonna look at their remaining schedule because I mean, they're 5-0 right now, and they play.
I think they'll lose this week.
They play TCU at home. Yeah, I don't expect them to win, but it's. I mean, they're 5-0. They've beat the odds so far. So
then, what after
they play
that?
At Oklahoma?
So I'm gonna take
at
Oklahoma.
Baylor, Oklahoma yeah, State at home, at Texas Tech, Texas, and at Kansas State. They have a tough schedule.
Yeah,
that like I could honestly see them going 6-6.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't want to like. That could just be disrespectful.
I could see them losing out, honestly. I mean, those are seven very, very tough games.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they won't.
I'm sure they'll find a way.
I think for college game day, I could definitely see them winning this week.
Yeah, it would be a very hyped atmosphere there.
Because it's Kansas' first college game day
since
for a long
2007.
Time.
Yeah,
when
like
they were
that.
Actually like good and ranked high. But you know, you never know. I mean, earlier in the year they beat West Virginia on the road, they beat Houston on the road, they beat Iowa State at home as a quality team, previously ranked. So I could definitely see Kent. I mean, they're just a weird team right now. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad.
I think they're good, but at the same time, I don't think they're as good as people
think. I see a lot of shades of, I forget which year Kentucky team it was, but there was a year where Kentucky started off 5-1 and then lost their next six games to go 5-7. Because that Kentucky team got really overrated after starting off 5-1. And they just had a very weak schedule. That happens a lot in college football.
But one more thing I want to talk about in college football is the Michigan State Spartans, as they lost.
What happened to them?
Can you pull up the final score of the game? I can't remember.
I will. Who is it that they lost to?
It was Maryland. And I know Maryland's pretty good with Talia Tungavailoa as quarterback. They have a good offense. But Michigan State is paying Mel Tucker like $95 million or something like that.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I get losing on the road to Washington. Washington's a decent team.
Right, but it's not horrible. But when you can't move the ball against Minnesota.
Minnesota, they lose at home 34-7. Minnesota's not bad either, but 34-7 when you're...
No, especially how much you're paying Mel Tucker. It's almost insane to me that they're this... I don't want to... Yeah, they're this bad. They're this bad.
I don't know if they're going to make a bowl game. I don't know.
I don't think so either with their schedule. They're
2-3. They just lose a bad one to Maryland.
What was the final score?
27-13. Not even
close. Was it at Maryland?
It was at Maryland, yes. Ohio State travels to Michigan State. That's a loss. You're 2-4 there. Wisconsin goes to Michigan State. That's two very underachieving teams this year. That's a toss-up.
Yeah, give it to Michigan State.
I'll give it to Michigan State. It's at home. I'll give them that win there. So you have 3-4 there. And then at Michigan, you're going to lose that. By a lot, you're going to lose that. You're 3-5. At Illinois, you could argue that they're going to lose that too.
Yeah.
But I'll give them the win there. The best-case scenario there, that's 4-5. Then Rutgers, you should win that. Indiana, you should win that. At most, there's six wins, and then at Penn State, that's a loss.
Yeah.
So at most, six wins and maybe five.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. Michigan State is in deep trouble right now, especially with how much they're paying Mel Tucker and what they thought he was going to do. I understand that you lost your best player from last year with Kenneth Walker going to the NFL draft, but still, I mean, this Michigan State team should be worried, especially, you know, they're paying this guy all this money, and you're supposed to have championship-level football there, you know? I don't know what his exact salary is, but it's a lot to lose, you know, to lose to Maryland and Minnesota back-to-back weeks. So you,
if you don't have a crazy turnaround this year, I think Mel Tucker is a chance that he gets fired.
I don't think he'll get fired just because of how much they're paying him and how much the buyout is as well.
So now we'll transition to a little NFL action. Obviously, disappointing day for the Colts overall. They lose in the early slate to the Titans.
Disappointing.
24-17.
It was bad.
That's a bad loss. I mean, that's horrible. You start the game down 24-3. You can't expect to win football games when you don't show up in the first half ever.
How good did Ryan Tannehill look in that first
half?
He looked like an MVP.
You shut down Patrick Mahomes and you let Ryan Tannehill actually dot you up.
Yeah, I thought after last week we kind of got stuff figured out. I knew this week wouldn't be easy by any means, but I think you need a change. You know, I don't know if it, I think
it's ridiculous. I mean,
I think Ryken Ballard should not have
since 2018. The Colts have started off with a losing record in the first five weeks.
It's just bad.
That's on coaching. I don't care what anyone thinks. That's on coaching. You can't start off bad. Other than in 2020, you started off pretty good with Phillip Rivers,
right?
But that's the one exception.
You saw that photo I sent you, Dan Dockich, local reporter here. He tweeted, a former basketball player as well, but he tweeted out a photo of, he likes Ryan Grigson. No one else likes Ryan Grigson. But Ryan Grigson was 10-0 against the Titans. And I understand you had Andrew Luck back there, you know, throwing the football. Andrew Luck, you know, obviously it's too bad what happened
Andrew
to him.
Andrew Luck's the owner of the Titans. So.
Right. But, you look at how much better Grigson's record was compared to Ballard's right now. And it's just crazy to me. And again, I'm not one to say, oh yeah, Grigson was a very good GM. I don't really think he was, but I think it's, you know, kind of a bad sign, you know, when you had a guy that was 10-0 against the Titans versus Ballard and Reich, who are only, I don't know, have a four-game losing streak to the Titans right now.
A change needs to happen, and obviously the Colts start off real bad every single season. So there's always a chance that if you're the Colts, you can recover. You can turn the season around. There were positives in the second half. Even how bad the game was, there were positives. In the second half, you start down 24-10. You don't allow a single point.
That's
all
true.
The defense stepped up in the second half, but you have to play good the whole game to win. So the defense steps up there.
Alex Pierce looked
good. I really liked what I saw out of Alec Pierce. I loved what I saw out of Mo Alley Cox. Mm-hmm. Mo Alley Cox had a couple touchdowns. Big catch and run where he broke like three tackles in the middle mm-hmm. of the field. I really liked what I saw throwing the ball out of Matt Ryan. Honestly.
Matt Ryan did not look bad.
He just needs to hold on to the football.
He looked terrible the first half. Don't get me wrong.
The pick wasn't. That was just a great play by the defense.
It was.
He needs to throw the ball higher, but like a defensive tackle who tips the ball up and catches it, he deserves it. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't even be mad. Looking on the sideline, dude was having the time of his life. So
yeah,
I mean,
I'm not here to say. I think Matt Ryan looked terrible in the first half. The last drive, he looked pretty good. But, yeah, you can't be that inconsistent and expect to go win football games. You know what I'm saying?
Throwing the football, Matt Ryan was pretty good overall. So I'll take it from there.
For sure.
And then it's just like throwing the football, we were great. And obviously the main theme of the Colts is run the dang ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran the ball a lot, and it wasn't working. We throw the ball, it was working. Why are we not throwing it more?
As a head coach,
you can't just stick to one scheme and expect to win. It's like, when the run game's working, we don't run the ball. When the pass game's working, we don't pass the ball. It's ridiculous.
It's silly play calling by Coach Reich there.
It's like, there was a 3rd-and-1 late in the football game where this is your first out of two chances going down to try and score a touchdown to tie this football game. And nothing's working to Jonathan Taylor. I mean, overall, he had 20 carries, 41 yards, and he ended up fumbling on this play that I'm talking about, probably the game-losing fumble.
Yeah.
The O-line was playing horrible. I'm not going to put it all on JT.
No, JT didn't look good.
Why are you handing the ball off on a 3rd-and-1 up the freaking middle to Jonathan Taylor when it hasn't been? Try a misdirection. Try a counter. I'm fine running the ball on 3rd-and-1 because you're more probable to pick up that first down. But why up the middle? It's like he doesn't get creative with his runs. Every so often, he'll have a counter run, and it's usually to Nyheim Hines, and it will work. And everybody's like, why don't you do those more often? And it's just like, I don't get it.
You should have pitched it to Hines there.
You should have pitched it. You should have done like a play action, a little, what is it called?
What do you mean?
When the quarterback like just tosses it out to the tight end on a little slant route.
Oh, yeah. Is it a wheel route? No.
No, why can't I think of it? Mahomes does it all the time, like Kelsey. Yeah, like a little like tight end screen pass sort of is what I'm thinking. Or just like anything except running the ball up the middle. JT fumbles that. That honestly causes you to lose the game. Defense gets a big stop. You get the ball back. You throw it down to the 20-yard line to Alec Pierce. And when you get it down to Alec Pierce, that string of play calling was horrible.
I know.
It was really bad. First one, you run the ball again. Why? Why are you running the ball? And it's to Nyheim Hines. And it's up the middle with Nyheim Hines. You mm-hmm. know, like, ridiculous. I can't even believe I'm saying that. Up the middle to Nyheim Hines, who's more of your, like, explosive back where you get into space or you do, like, and honestly, he could be a slot receiver. And then the second play, you don't have any routes. You have no pass protection. You just throw it out a little 3-yard in the backfield to Nyheim Hines, second and 13, or 3rd-and-13 at that point. Then you get sacked because the O-line is just awful.
And I don't understand the field goal call there.
That's what I was about to jump into because it's 4th-and-21 there. And obviously it's 4th-and-21. The odds are not on your side. But what in the world does a field goal do for you there? Make it 24-20? Make it seem a little like you lost a little better?
I guess you didn't lose by much? If your defense stepped up there.
But you're going to need a touchdown anyways.
Well, you still had the 3 timeouts there. So I guess
you still had three timeouts, but like it's what I'm thinking. It's a whole different story if the game is like 24-18 and you're down 6 points and a field goal makes it another field goal game.
Right.
That is perfectly understandable. No one would be complaining. But it's a 7-point game where even if you get the ball back, you're going to need a touchdown to win. So I don't get what a field goal does there. I guess it gives you a touchdown to win. But the odds are not on your side. The odds are better to just at least throw it down to the goal line to Pittman or Pierce or Jelani Woods or Mo'Ali Cox where you have at least a chance. I mean, that field goal attempt was horrible.
Yeah,
Chase McLaughlin has been pretty good with us, but that was one of the worst field goal attempts in the history of football. That was horrible.
It looked like Mike Vander Jack against
the Steelers. It looked like if you put me out there to go kick it. It looked like a high school kicker.
It looked like it looked like Blankenship.
Honestly, I don't even think Blankenship would have got it that far.
No, probably not.
But yeah, overall, there's so many negatives taken away from this game. Yes, there's a few positives. Obviously, Shaquille Leonard gets a concussion. He more than likely won't be back for Thursday. And I hope he's not back for Thursday.
Right.
Because the concussion system has been bad. I mean, they just throw two in there.
He might be out for the rest of the season at this point. You know, it's one injury after another with him, and it always has been. So hopefully we get him back as soon as possible. But
and it was his own teammate, too.
Yeah, even when he wasn't in the game, he didn't look necessarily good, you know?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, we're just – the amount of guys we're paying just to be playing mid, that was ridiculous.
You're paying the highest-paid offensive line
to be a bottom five on
– It's terrible.
You give Quentin Nelson a bag, and in all honesty, I haven't been impressed by Quentin Nelson.
No, not
the
at
best,
all.
The quote-unquote best guard in football should not be – giving up sacks.
You're right.
Should not be letting guys dominate him. Pause. But I don't know. You don't fill the holes in the offseason with O-line. You expected us to keep rotating left tackles.
Right.
You try Eric Fisher. That went horribly. Now who are you even trying?
I don't know.
You're just rotating players. Yeah. I mean, you start a dude named Will Fries. William Fries. He was like a 6th or 7th round draft pick. Mm-hmm. I love his name. Oh, but like, why? I don't get it. So
I don't either.
It's ridiculous, and Ryan Kelly has just looked horrible. Mm-hmm. He's looked like a bad center.
Yep, and we're paying them all this
Braden
money.
Braden Smith has looked ridiculously bad.
He's looked awful.
Quentin Nelson's the only one who's looked decent. He hasn't looked good for the amount of money you're paying him.
I don't know why you gave Braden Smith such a big contract. I really don't. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, something needs to click. Yep. I mean, the offensive linemen, and I go back to this every time, and I think to myself, why in the world, if you're the Colts, did you not select Malik Willis over the offensive lineman you picked in the 3rd round? It wasn't the 3rd, it might have been 4th.
I don't know.
Because that offensive lineman has not played, and when he's played, he hasn't done good. Malik Willis at least gives you a chance to have a quarterback to develop. So, obviously, the season's not over yet. There's 13 more weeks of football.
Yep.
The team can recover. You see last year, they start off 1-4. They were bound one pass to T.Y. Hilton away from making the playoffs against the Raiders.
But still, you're 0-2-1 against division rivals, which is not good at all.
Since 2014, you haven't had a good record against division
rivals.
That's
true.
But also, I mean, in 2018, you start 1-5, make the playoffs. So there's always hope. You got to win this game on Thursday Night Football. You win this game, you're back in first in the South for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
A long season ahead, but you have to win this game. You cannot start off 1-3-1. That's inexcusable for the talent that on this roster, or the so-called talent on this roster. Obviously, I think the defense is very talented. I just think the offense is not good at all. This is not a good football team. No matter the outcome of the season, changes need to be made. Unless somehow miraculously you win a playoff game, or you win, I wouldn't even say just one. You'd have to like go decently far in the playoffs if you want to not make changes. If Frank Gore wants to keep his job, you need to make changes. It's ridiculous. If next season, Matt Ryan is still your starting quarterback and he's not retired, there's a problem.
Yeah.
If you don't have a rookie at quarterback next season, there's a problem. In my opinion.
Unless you get like a good veteran quarterback. Like a Derek Carr.
I wouldn't want Derek Carr. I mean, I love Derek Carr as a player and I really like him just as a human. But you don't need him. You need to go in a younger direction. Derek Carr's not going to make us that much better of a football team, in my opinion. And I don't think he'd leave Devontae anyways with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. You need to go in a different direction no matter what it is. But let's hop into some other teams that we don't care too much about so that we can not just be sitting here complaining about the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, that's our Monday podcast. Complaining about
usually, except
Colts.
Last week, and we still probably complained a little bit about because they didn't play great.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the London game. Vikings beat the Saints 28-25. You had a ton of fans at that game that had no idea what was happening. They showed up for a soccer game. They watched football. So, pretty good game there. The Vikings are 3-1. The Vikings continue to impress me overall. They're winning football games. On the other hand, their other NFC North team, the Green Bay Packers do not impress me whatsoever right now.
Yeah.
Yes, they're 3-1, but they barely won in overtime against Bailey Zapp, who's a fourth-round, third-string rookie.
Who for who?
The Patriots.
The Patriots?
Because Brian Hoyer got injured.
Wow. I've never heard that name before.
Yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah, I mean, the Packers just don't impress me there. I still have the Vikings winning that division. Falcons beat the Browns 23-20. Falcons are 2-0. I don't sleep on the Falcons. They're a team that could really make some noise.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not that bad right now. Granted, it's 2-2.
That's true.
I mean, a lot of teams.
But against the Browns, that's a good win, you know?
Yeah, against that good of a defense. Cowboys beat the Commanders. Cooper Rush stays undefeated in the regular season. The Commanders had some of the best jerseys I've ever seen, and they still lose. In my opinion, those are some really cool jerseys.
They were cool.
I really like the blackout jerseys. Seahawks and Lions have just an insane offensive game. Over 1,000 yards combined,
fun.
93 points combined, 12 touchdowns combined. That was an insane game.
I got to watch the end of that game, and it was back and forth. Still, it was awesome. It was a really cool game.
I should have.
Geno Smith, though. My boy Geno Smith.
I wish I would have watched that
Six
game.
Six touchdowns.
The Colts game. Six touchdowns. That's ridiculous. The Giants beat the Bears 20-12. I mean, going
Saquon
to this game.
Looks good.
The winner of this game is 3-1, and that's ridiculous. I'm not high on the Giants. Maybe they're honestly not that bad.
Yeah, they're okay.
I don't know.
They're okay.
The Eagles beat the Jags 29-21. The Jags didn't impress me. Trevor Lawrence didn't impress me. He had 4 lost fumbles, and I want to say did 1 pick. But, I mean, he didn't impress me at all there. The Jags started off 14-0, and then the Eagles just came storming back.
Yeah.
That doesn't impress me at all because you got to hold on to leads as a good football team. I don't think there's any quality teams in the AFC South right now. It's a toss-up who wins that division, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not great teams there. And then Zach Wilson in his season debut beats the Steelers 24-20.
He hit that gritty.
That was a clean gritty. I can't lie. That was a clean gritty. The Ravens choke another lead. They choke a 17-point lead this time. To the Bills, they lose 23-20. And what is John Harbaugh doing?
I don't know.
Why are you not kicking that field goal? I don't know.
You have the best kicker in the league. It was definitely
best kicker
strange.
Of all time, honestly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Chargers beat the Texans 34-24 on the road. No surprise there. It started off as a blowout. Texans made it kind of close. The Chargers pulled away late. The Cardinals beat the Panthers on the road 26-16 to get back to 500. Like I said, the Packers won in overtime against the Patriots. The Raiders finally get their first win of the season over the Broncos. And Javonte Williams might be out for the year. Jeez.
Yeah, that's not good. Never good to hear
He's
that.
He's having an MRI. It's never good to hear that. So, Chiefs go on the road. Little Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah, I want to talk about that
game against the Buccaneers 41-31.
It was a high-scoring game, fun game. Tom Brady just doesn't look there mentally. Him and his wife, again, are having major problems now. I don't know if they're getting divorced or whatnot, but that's not good. And then did you see what Antonio Brown tweeted out?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He is crazy. He tweeted out a
he
photo.
He has to have CTE.
Oh, no doubt.
No way.
But he tweeted out a photo of him and Brady's wife after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
of them hugging, and I was like, wow. That's just, you know, this guy basically brought you into two different places.
He let him stay in his mansion.
I know. And that's how you're going to repay him? Like, Antonio Brown, you're a scumbag. I'm sorry. You're a scumbag.
Something's wrong with his head.
Yeah, but oh, well.
CTE. That's the problem in today's football.
Yeah,
CTE.
And I am a kind of I don't want to say a closet Tom Brady fan because I really never liked him, but I'm definitely intrigued to see how he's going to finish off the season because I do think that he's going to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah. So that was all the NFL games of the day. We can go ahead and preview the Thursday night game just
or the Monday
the
night game.
Oh, yeah, the Monday night game and the Thursday night game for next week. But Monday night game, Rams-Niners. I'm going to take the Rams, even though the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams
game,
as well.
I'm still going to take the Rams. Jimmy G does not look good right now. Jimmy G's still getting a bag, though. Every game
That's
he makes
true.
Like 800K. You got to respect the grind there. But we can go ahead before we hop off. We can preview the Colts-Broncos Thursday night football game this week. Colts, this is a game you need to win. This is a game you need to win to get your season back on track on prime time. You can prove a lot of people wrong on this game. But I don't know. I'm going to take the Broncos in this game. I want the Colts to win, obviously, but they don't look good.
I'll take the Colts on the road just because I'm a Colts fan. So I do believe that they will. We've actually had some, well, I guess not last year, but before that, we've had pretty good luck against Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So I'll take the Colts.
I think this is a game you can win. It's just the Broncos defense really.
We've also had pretty good luck against the Broncos all time as well. Like when Peyton played there, I think we were like 3-1 against Peyton, 2-1.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll take the Colts.
I could see it going either way. Right now, as of right now, I'll take the Broncos. That may change. And obviously, we could see a Colts dub. I hope we get a Colts win there.
Hopefully.
But that should be a pretty good Thursday Night Football matchup. Good chance for both teams to prove themselves. Because both teams, the Colts and the Broncos, they're unproven. They each have decent wins, but they also have bad losses.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them look great overall. So this is a big chance for one of these teams to prove themselves.
Yeah, and hopefully the Colts walk out of there with a dub.
All right, so that was episode 7 of the Playbook Podcast. You can go to our TikTok page at the Playbook Pod to look at some clips, and you can go to Indy's Giant 90.9 on Spotify and scroll down until you see the Playbook Podcast. Listen to our show. Always love the support there, and we are signing off from Ben Davis Studio.